God dag og velkommen til Ølbarometeret. Vi sidder her, Tobias og Kasper. Vi sidder på Siberia Bryggeriet i Tjekkiet i Prag. Hej, det er her.
Goddag, goddag.
Goddag, Jesper.
Så nu skifter vi til engelsk, fordi vi har jo fået gas med. So we are switching to English now.
Hello.
Ruslan. Ruslan. Ruslan, how do you pronounce your name?
I'm Ruslan.
Ruslan. Oh, that's how we can pronounce it. So yeah, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, welcome to the brewery, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me on the podcast.
So we're sitting here at the brewery. It's not the first time we're here. Now it's a late night. We found an extra time to drink a beer. That's always good. And then we had the podcast equipment with us. So yeah, welcome in the podcast. And yeah, should we just start with some stories from here?
Yeah. And also maybe, Ruslan, can you tell us about, we can't make a beer podcast without drinking a beer. And what are we being served today here?
Right now you have our core range lager. It's Czech Pilsner, 12 Plato, only Czech hops, Czech base malt. It's quite bitter, quite hoppy as well. And I pour myself IPA, hazy IPA with a single hop, Nelson Sauvin hops. About 17 Plato, quite hazy, very, very nice.
It's cheers. Really nice. And yes, just make a cheers.
Oh,
nice job.
So, now you are in the spotlight. Can you tell us a little bit about your background? Why did you, first of all, why did you move here? And why did you start a brewery?
Why did I move here? So I moved to Prague 16 years ago.
You are from, you
from
can tell
Siberia,
that.
From the Western Siberia. We moved here with my wife because we just really want to move somewhere. And after some time, you know, we spent maybe like 6 months to think where we can move and why. Like what the reason why to this place. So we choose Prague because culture is quite similar. I think language also not very hard. I thought it was not very and it's quite hard. And also when we think about our kids, so we, if we choose between Thailand and, for example, Czech Republic, your kids in Thailand every time will be foreigners. And here, both our kids was born here and they are actually Czechs. They know language, they looks like people here, not like foreigners. And also, I loved Czech beers when I used to live in Russia. And I wasn't beer geek yet. 16 years ago, only drink like classic lager produced locally in Russia in most cases, and sometimes Czech lager, which was imported from the Czech Republic. And my wife, she don't drink a beer in Russia, but start to drink here.
That must say something about the beer quality here in Czech. So now we are sitting in this big brewery, but when did your own brewery experience start? When did you start brewing your first beer?
When we moved, we had an IT business. It was marketing business and the hosting. But we first like 3 years, maybe we just walk to different bars, drink normal Czech Pilsner everywhere. But then we start to travel around. And from the first trip by the car to Netherlands, we brought back more than 100 different beers, because when I just got to some bottle shop and saw all this, you know, different kinds of beer, I just bought as much as I can. We just brought it here to taste. And so then I start to deep dive. Why is it different? Why there are so many kinds of beer in the world? And in Czech Republic, there was one problem. There is one kind of beer here. It's a Czech Pilsner. I love this style, but I also really love to explore new things, especially new tastes. And we just try all these beers, and I read a lot, and I decide to check like how hard it is to make beer. Mm. And I realized it's not like really hard. It looks like you can make it as a soup. Basically, you have ingredients, you just brew it, you ferment it, you have a beer. So I decided to try this as quick as possible. So I just bought buckets, bought some concentrates to not like brew it from the grains and hops, but from the concentrates. So it's simple. And first two times from the concentrates, it wasn't so good. Mm-hmm. But third time, I bought already normal malt and the hops and brew hoppy blonde ale, very light, like 9 Plato, just Cascade hops, fermented with the US-05 yeast, and it was very good beer. I really like it. And the time I realized I will brew more.
All right. So you started brewing and started brew more beers, and how was it back then? Was there like a beer geek community in Prague or?
Not at all. Not beer geek and no homebrewing actually community as well. And it was very hard to get some homebrew supplies here. But when I started to brew, it was about 12, 13 years ago. There was just two or three places who serve different beers. And one of these places was opened by one English guy, Michael Cole, and he opened this place. Zubaty Pesce was the name, and he brought a lot of new breweries 12 years ago, and it was Nøgneør, Brewdog, Mikkeller, and I just tried these beers in his place and really fell in love to this taste. But he quickly realized there is no market here for this kind of stuff, and he quickly sold this place to another guy and stopped to import it because he moved back to UK. So we just contacted all these breweries like Brewdog, Mikkeller, Nøgneør, if it's possible to get their beers. And we decided to try to import them to the Czech Republic. And 11 years ago, we brought like a couple of pallets of these different beers and tried to sell it on the wholesale market to different bars. Nobody was interested. Just kicking us out from the, you know, from the doors. And we found a place and opened a bottle shop. It was 10 years ago.
Yeah. What was the bottle shop called?
Beer Geek.
Beer Geek. Yeah. We love that name.
It's kind of a lovely name, yeah.
And we really hope you don't sue us later because we are called Beer Geeks Denmark.
Yeah. And first couple of months was quite hard. All our neighbors came to us to tell us we are crazy people. Why are we doing this? We will close in 1 month, in 3 months. Anyway, we will close very soon. And then after like 6 months, they also start to come to our place. Okay, you still didn't close the shop? Okay, let's try. Let's check what you have. And we work ourselves in first year.
Also your wife?
Yes, yeah. We already had a kid. But we first 2 or 3 months, we hire a guy who was a brewer from the Falcon Brewery, young guy. And we realized there are no knowledge in the Czech Republic yet about this. So we can just hire people to sell this beer. And we decided to make it ourselves. We spent 1 year just changing with Olga in the shop. And we grew a quite big community. Mm-hmm. And every night we stay till midnight, actually. It was a lot of people in the end of this year. And we decide to try to open the bar together with my friend. So we found a place, and not far away from the bottle shop, we opened Beer Geek Bar. It was first bar of this kind of...
The first craft beer bar.
Yeah, craft beer bar. We had 15 taps from the countries, imported beers, and 15 local craft beers from the beginning, and nobody had this.
And as you said, 30 taps. Back then, like, what was the normal amount of taps in a bar? Was maybe 2, 4?
In Prague, it's mostly one. It's yeah. Just like Pilsner Urquell or, you know, Stara Pramen. In Brno, it was a little bit different. by the way, maybe it's like a student city, and it was common to have three, maybe taps from different breweries, but all was lagers from the big breweries or regional sized breweries. But here in Prague, completely was like one tap, one beer, that's it, maybe dark beer. And was then it was this Zubaty Pest bar, they had 12 taps. And also the oldest craft beer bar named Zlý Časy, they had about 30 taps as well. But only Czech beers, only one, only one imported beer.
And you just thought, let's get 30 taps and let's have something different on every one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's try it out, yeah?
So
it's a lovely bar. We've been there twice in 6 days.
And you also got a bottle room in the bar. It's not only 30 taps, then there's a lovely bottle room.
I don't think everyone is allowed in there, but we've been there.
We charmed our way.
Yeah, so you started with a bottle shop, a bar, but I don't think I told it at the start, but you also own the brewery here, Siberia. When did you start here?
I dive deep to the brewing very quickly after I start. My first beer was successful by taste, so I visited all the exhibition around, like Braubevel, for example. Like I go in there every year, last 10 years, and I very quickly put the dream to my head to have a brewery, especially after we opened bar and really check the reality, how the quality of the beer in small Czech breweries was really horrible 10 years ago. And we had a really strict quality control, and we sent back a lot of beers first 2 years, especially in summer. A lot of beers already come to our place bad, so we have to try it, have a quality check, and just send it back. And some beers even decide not work with us anymore. Some beers decide not to get the beers back, and we decide to not work with them anymore. But I think it also really helps to the quality of the most of the breweries. But right after we opened the bar, I started to brew commercially as a contract brewer. First, because we already had a place to pour beer. And second, I was really interested in this.
What was your name for the brewery back then?
First 1 or 2 years, our name was the Beer Lab. Mm-hmm. I think it was just first year. And we realized it's already registered trademark. So we decided to change it. And our good friend, Jakub Dovka, who is our designer currently as well, he suggests us this name, Siberia, because I have a roots in Siberia and this name have a beer inside. This is very important.
It's a great logo. One of the things we like in this podcast is also because we ask you a lot of questions, you don't have the time to take a drink. So shouldn't we just make what we in Denmark call a fællesskål?
Skål. Yeah.
So back to the story. So now you have got the name Siberia. And when, in which year do you establish Siberia?
Yes, maybe first beer was brewed maybe 7 years ago. And I'm not really sure with this name. Mm-hmm. And also we very quickly realized we as a contract brewer, not really viable in the Czech Republic, because we want to brew only in good breweries, and good breweries don't have a capacity. And we don't want to brew at bad breweries, which have a capacity. And so we, with my partner, Roman, who also helps open bar, we decide to think how to open the brewery. So we will make like financial plans, calculate everything, start to make the project ourselves, start to looking up for the place. And it was about maybe also from the beginning when we start to brew as a Siberia. And we found this place 6 years ago, and we opened the brewery finally in January of 2020, just 3 months before COVID came.
Yeah. What did COVID and that time mean for you?
It was a horrible situation.
Mm.
And I'm really happy we opened 3 months before, because if we open later, so we can't open later, then, and just we definitely, most probably we will not stay alive. And we still had this 3 months. We had very rapid growth. We didn't bottle or can beers before, and we producing only kegs. And then was lockdown, all bars are closed. We very quickly have to realize we need to put in beers to the cans, to the bottles. So we, in 2 weeks, we just built ourselves a bottling machine, hand bottling for heads machine. So but we can produce at least 1,000 big bottles in the day. And so we quickly changed our politics to the bottles. We also ordered the canning machine. It really helps us a lot because bottle shops was opened, because it's a grocery, actually stores. So beer in Czech Republic, it's not alcohol, basically. It's something between food and alcohol. It have like completely separate law. You don't have to have any license for this. You sell it just as a food. And basically bottle shop, it's a food store just with a limited choice.
I heard a lot about many brewers who, like, when they start to buy a brewery or to make their own brewery, they usually just, you know, like, order the tanks, order some guys to build it all up, and just like, oh, the tanks should stay there, and then they don't really have so much more in it. But I know you, as you just said, you welded these tanks, and you actually had a lot, big part in building this brewery. Isn't that right?
Not tanks, actually. We ordered the tanks, but we weld other parts because it's very hard to build a tank. You need very special equipment. When we decided to open the brewery, we met very high bureaucracy in the Czech Republic, that we met the reality, actually, because I hope from the beginning it is much easier. But in the reality, we making documents at around 2 years. So, and we really love to deep dive in this stuff. So I just learned how to weld stainless. I just spent 1 month to some trials. And then I weld everything, all the piping here. And so we also build the sloping floor, actually doing everything besides the tanks. So we order tanks. We put it on the place and we make everything around it, automation system and also so on.
So you definitely know your brewery here.
Yes, and we made, actually tanks was also made by completely, it was our drawings, our project. So we need
nice
tanks like this, but we just ordered it by our drawings.
How many countries do you export your beer to?
We export to most European countries. I really don't know right now how many. We have some countries are really big in our portfolio, like France or Netherlands, and maybe Norway sometimes, but also a quite big amount, Sweden, and sometimes Denmark as well, but not regularly. Yeah, I think France and Netherlands, very big customers of ours.
What are the feedback you get from these foreign countries about the beer you make here?
Very big success there from the different sides, because some of these countries really like, in the same country, some people really like Czech Pilsner and drink lagers, but want to drink really like Czech style lager, very bitter, very hoppy. But some people want to drink modern styles like New England IPAs, and we have also very big success with these styles.
If we should dive more into the general brewing process here at the brewery, what about the malt you use? Is it from local sources or?
The base malt we use from local, very small craft malting company from Kounice. It's a very small town, maybe like 20 kilometers from Prague, and it's owned and operated by a very old man, Mr. Kluzacek. He right now around 93 years old and he's still operating the military himself.
Then you love your job.
Very energetic person.
Wow, nice. So local malts, and you also do experience a lot with hops and hops profiles. Are there any specific hops that you really like to use in your brews and why?
Yeah, we use not only local malt, but also some special malts from Germany and the United Kingdom. And the hops, we use a lot of American and New Zealand hops especially. We love New Zealand hops. But for lagers, mostly the Czech hops. We also work with a company who evolving new hop varieties in Czech Republic, and we help them to try it in a real brewery. So every year we choose maybe 4 or 5 hops from the 2025 and brew trial batch for them and for the people. Actually, it's normal beer we released on the market to help them to decide if they want to continue this way, to help the people to try new varieties. And it's also very interesting for us because we really love to experiment with everything we produce, not only core range beers, but we produce a lot of new styles and new names. And I think last year we produced about 96 or 97 new beers. So at least one beer a month, and we experiment and we love it.
And how big is your brewing
production?
Production, yeah.
Our brew size is 20 hectares. We have 21 tanks, and last year we made 3,800 hectoliters, and we aim to 45 at least this year.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a big craft brewery in Denmark. Yeah.
And yeah, I think after Vinohradsky Brewery, we are second biggest in the Prague, not the Czech Republic, but in Prague.
I need a beer.
Yeah, you don't have that much beer, and I also drank all my
beer. Should I just grab some beer before, and then you can just keep going?
Oh, that would be lovely.
right now, Jesper is just picking up new beers for us in the podcast. That's wonderful. And he just go to take it directly from the tank. That's also a very special experience for us to try. I will just return back to the beer that we are drinking, and maybe you can explain for those back in Denmark that listen to this, we're drinking a Czech pale lager here, right?
Yeah, it's like basically Czech Pilsner.
Yeah, Czech Pilsner. And I was wondering if you could explain what is the difference between this Czech Pilsner lager and a German-style lager, because we often talk about Czech and German in those lager Pilsner styles.
Main difference is the ingredients. For the Czech Pilsner, we have a law in Czech Republic. And basically, by this law, we brew not real Czech lager, because the Czech lager have to be two-stage fermentation. First fermentation, mostly in open fermentation vessels, and then you have to transfer it to lager in tank. Mm. And if you brew it in a unit tank, like a cylindrical conical tank, by the Czech law, you also have to move it. And this is the reason that most of the big breweries have the huge cylinder conical tanks, and then they also have a huge bright beer tanks or like lagering tanks nearby, so they have to transfer it. But this is not actually about the difference. The difference, the Czech lager, more hoppy, more bitter, have used the Czech yeast, which produce more of flavors.
Hop flavors.
No. Off flavors.
Off like flavors.
Example, like a Dicetil.
Yes.
And German Pilsners and German lagers, mostly very clean in fermentation profile. And use German hops, which have a little bit different character.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. But I was wondering, now talking about the beers, that Tobias was asking about the beers brewing here. I was wondering, like, do you want to brew like every styles of beers at the brewery, so going from lagers to sours to stouts, or are you more specialized in one style? Are you more going for a big range of beer?
We definitely don't want to try every styles of beer. We look in what people want and try to connect it with what we wanting as well, and we go from this match. Actually, if we like this the style, if people like the style, we brew it.
Okay.
So we don't brew some green beer, for example, because we're against this. Especially, even last 2 years, people really love it. I saw the Polish guys really crazy about the blue and green stuff. Yeah, we have, actually, I think it's first year we have green beer in a beer geek bar. And we had it on this St. Patrick's Day from the Magic Rock Brewery, because before it was completely prohibited in our bar.
And is there some new beer in the future coming up that you are wondering to brew? Some new kind of style? Or can you, I'm not sure you can tell it maybe in the podcast if you can.
If I know, I can. Right now it's very hot things. It's a cold APA. And we brew it a lot as well. People like it. Maybe because it's very drinkable and the same, like drinkable as a lager, but have an aromatic perspective of the IPA.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the reason they like it. We still brew a lot of New Englands, and we brew in the summer a lot of lagers. And maybe for this year, I prefer to brew less lagers and more and other styles, like hazy IPAs or more strong beers. Yeah. Personally, it's not my favorite style, the strong beers like Imperial Stout, but a lot of people in the brewery likes it. People also likes it a lot. It have a special characteristic of change over the time. You can keep it like 5 years and still drink it. It's a very interesting style to make, because we can also age it in the barrels, for example, or age it, like leave it a couple of kegs from, we still have a couple of kegs of Imperial Stout from like 2 years ago. We still sometimes put it on the top in the beer geek bar.
Now we got a new beer in the glass. Yes, but I think it's the same lager, again, Czech lager. So I want to say Nastavi.
Skål derude. Vi håber, I har noget i glasset. Ja, directly from the tank.
You can't get much more bitter beer than that. I love beer from the tank. I wish I could drink it every day.
And from now on, I will only drink beers from the tank, yeah, when I go home to Denmark. Only like this.
We need our own tank.
This is when everything beginning.
Yeah. We actually just drink the same beer through the whole podcast here, because you served it for us yesterday. And for me particularly, it was it's the most perfect crisp pale lager you can find. Really, I'm also not, as I also told you before, I'm not the biggest Dicetal fan, and I don't find very much Dicetal in this one. Yeah, really love it.
And I don't know what you talked about when I was just picking up beers.
You were talking about beer.
About me, lovely.
Yeah, I just want to support what you were saying before, Tobias, about this beer. I just want to give you credit for really, really great beer. Like, it's really like crisp, it's clean, and it's fresh at the same time. And like, what I also learned in Czech is how good they are with the foam. Like, it's amazing, this big white foam just protecting the beer from everything, and it's just keep cleaning and fresh. I love it. I was wondering a question. We're talking sometimes about it can be, maybe you will answer me. I can't give you an answer, but I will still try to ask you. Your favorite beer? Do you?
No.
Okay, I can say, for example, if I should pick one beer that I would not want to go out of the market anywhere, like, then I would be very sad. That will be for me Orvel from Belgium. Like, do you have one?
Orvel. Definitely, it's in my top 20.
Top 20.
Top 20, number one. I have like maybe top 20 my favorite beers and Orvel there, definitely.
Can you mention maybe three, four, five beers in your top 20?
Most of them from our brewery. Yeah.
What would that be?
Definitely Pilsner. Maybe not this one, but Timeless, which is oak aged. Oh, let's open the can, by the way.
You got an oak aged Pilsner?
Yeah.
All right, guys, we'll be right back.
during quick, we will open the can, okay, because we don't have it in the tank. This is the reason you haven't had it, because we don't have it in the tank.
Ah.
Yeah. So Casper wants to say cheers again because he wants to drink this up so he can cheers tonight.
Cheers.
Na stra vi. Boom.
I really love our New Englands. We, especially last maybe a year and a half, first versions was not bitter enough for me to love. Now we have very nice balanced and on the bitter side. I definitely like some beers from our friends from Czech Republic as well. Maybe I don't have to mention them on the podcast. Yeah. I love some lambics. Maybe I prefer Cantillon,
yeah.
Yeah.
I can also ask you, because now we have, Jesper and I was in Belgium last summer on a beer trip, and now we went to the second beer trip with Tobias here in the Czech Republic, and we're talking about our next beer trip in 1 year. Where should that go to? Maybe you can help us.
For sure. You have to go to Bamberg and around. It's 100 of breweries in 30-kilometer radius from Bamberg, so you definitely have not to stick to the Bamberg itself. Definitely, you will visit all the breweries in Bamberg, but you have to visit especially beer gardens in the summer.
That sounds kind of okay, yeah. Sounds, yeah, I'm up for it. Okay. Yeah. We have some more questions, I think. When we were here, like, was it Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. I don't know. We were talking about you have made some collabs with some different breweries.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of collabs.
A lot of collabs, yeah. And two of them you mentioned were a collab with Verdant in England.
Yeah, we brewed two collabs last year with them.
Yeah. I'm not sure I remember it, but you talked about the names you were.
Okay, yeah. Hangover Sniper, you mean?
Yeah, probably that one, yeah. Can you tell that story?
You definitely had a hangover next day.
I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, guys from Verdant, they came last year, and when they realized we have a shooting range right in our building just under the brewery, they tell us that they want to go there. And so we invite them next day to be there in the morning, and as you can imagine, the headache hangover. And it was quite big. So we chose to name one of the collab beer a Hangover Sniper.
Why didn't you invite us to go there with Hangover last day?
Yeah, because you hadn't had some such big interest from it.
Yeah, that's because we are Danes. We are so afraid of guns.
And then you made a collab with Pilsner Urquell.
Oh, yeah. Well, in the end of the last year, we made a collab with Pilsner Urquell. It was released in January this year. We released it together with the opening of our new place, Siberia Tap Room, in the center of Prague. It was a cold IPA with New Zealand and American hops with the name of Cryon Out. It was a very nice brew. We brew very big batch in their brewery and two smaller batches in our brewery, because we need the cans of this beer, and in this brewery they don't have a canning line. So actually the only reason we brew. We also brew to compare, because we are very curious to compare the beers, the same beers from different breweries. And yeah.
So, welcome back to Ølbarometer. Welcome tilbage. Na stra vi. So, we have a beer in a glass, and this is not from the tanks. This is from cans. Timeless oak-aged pale lager. And the question I just wanted to ask is, one of the most important things for the Czech pilsners is the foam. is that, now I can see this is pretty good foam in a can too. Is that difficult? Like on tap, it's, as I can tell from when we are at a bar, it's kind of easy for the bartender to get a lot of foam and that looks incredible. But is it the same in the cans or is it like, can you get the same profile?
What I can say you that beer is the same.
Yeah.
But the foam, it's not the same because for the foam, the pouring is very important. And you can't pour from the can the same like from the side pulled up. It's so the final foam in the glass will be another different from the top.
Yeah, and Kasper has probably a question about how to pour it. No.
I would just ask, I think like it would be great to just ask, what are we drinking here?
So it's Czech Pils, but a little bit stronger, 13 Plato. And it's additionally lager on the all cubes, just to add more taste, add some twist to the classic Czech Pils taste, which is already good, but I like it more because it adds some tannins.
It's like another dimension,
actually, because tannins have another sensation in the mouth, different from bitterness of the sweetness from the malt or bitterness from the hops. Yes, it's just have add you another dimension, on my opinion. Okay. So I like it more.
I think we can taste more the barrel here, the oak. That's like clear for me to taste that kind of oak in here. It's a quite good beer from a can. Like it's not from a barrel, so we cannot compare it. From can, really great and fresh also.
Is this Saaz hops too?
I don't think so. I think it's Saaz special, which is not really. It's have the similar name, but it's different hops. We use it in Patronus, the lighter version of Pils. Yeah, and it's 14 Plato. Yeah. It's 14 Plato, so it's stronger, 5.6 ABV.
When you're talking about this, we did a episode at Pils Novaquell yesterday. You talked about Plato before. We tried to explain Plato at the episode, but like you use Plato as a normal saying. I know you also have on the boards the alcohol percentage, but Plato is not a thing you can sell to anyone in Denmark that will understand it.
Okay, but in Czech Republic, the beer distinguishes by Plato.
Yeah,
the people distinguish beer by Plato, not by the final percentage of alcohol. And most of the brewers use Plato as a measurement of their original gravity. And here in Czech Republic, it's a very interesting tradition to also distinguish beer by Plato degrees.
But if I understand it correctly, then Plato is the old way of doing it. I know it's a Czech thing also to do, but it's also like an older way but that's also how you measured in other countries before.
You measure in Plato the gravity of original wort before fermentation. And all the professional brewers in the world doing this right now. It's not the old things.
Okay.
It's basically just percent of sugars in the wort before fermentation.
Mm. What about your water profile? Do you?
Oh yes, I think the water profile is very important in the beer, and a lot of brewers can do more and can achieve better quality in the end if they check their water profile.
So every beer you make, you have a new water profile?
Not new, but for every beer, we have a water profile. Mm. It's definitely one of the most important thing we consider for the final beer. Not the recipe on ingredients, but the water profile, because water is in your can, the water is 97% of the content.
But actually going back to that, I don't think we talked a lot about that in the beginning. Like, you're the owner of this brewery, but how is you have some employees here? Do you brew the beers? Do you have a brewer?
Yeah.
But how is the
How is the processes here?
No, not the processes, but who do you have as an employee here? Not everyone, but like you have a you have some brewers here. But do you have a head brewer?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't still brew beers.
No, I don't.
Do you miss that?
No.
No.
I used to brew here as well after we opened. Yes, but we have right now about 13 employees and four of them in the production, including brewers and packaging. And actually, last time I brew in the January because I missed it a little bit. And I tell guys, okay, it was a weekend or the holidays. I just brewed two batch in the row one day. And I was just alone in the brewery. Just tell the guys, okay, I will do the brew today. It was nice.
But what are your so if you're not brewing today as a director of this company, what are your roles? What are the jobs you do?
Except I still talking to the drunken Danes. Yes, I still feel myself a little bit octopus. So I definitely very deep in the production. Mm. I not brew physically, not like moving malt, but it's not only thing to brew to do in brew house. Yeah, so I'm really deep involved in planning, in the recipes development, in deciding what we have to brew, and when and how. And now we have the centrifuge, and I just the only person who doing this, the centrifuging. It's not the brewing, but you know, it's the cellar part of the beer production. And I very deeply involved in the very top management role of the all this our business structures, so it's a brewery, bars, and bottle shops. And I think it getting like 60% of my time this top management stuff and people management stuff. It's not my very favorite thing that you have to do. I really like what I love. I definitely would love to go to the brew house and brew the beer. You know, the work with the malt, with the hops, with the recipes, you know, taste and all this stuff. And but right now, as I tell you, I brew it one day in January. Mm. Yeah, but I want to concentrate to the strategic part of the business.
Actually, about the strategic part, because that's also something we want to talk with you about. And that's so great to see when I take the microphone and I start to speak, the three over here just start to drink beer. Lovely. So, coming from Siberia, moved to Prague, and now, what was it, 16 years later?
Yeah.
Yeah, 16 years later. You're sitting here, you have your own brewery. I can guess you, when you moved to Prague, you and your wife didn't thought that this would be your future.
Definitely not.
But what about the future for Siberia? What are your dreams or what are you focusing on? Because it's also hard being craft beer brewery, because if you grow too big, you start to become mainstream, and that is a whole another direction. We have Mikkeller back in Denmark, who also, I think maybe someone would say, came from being a craft beer brewery who everybody liked to become more and more mainstream. We saw now that Carlsberg have bought 20% of the brewery. Is that the way you want to go, or do you have other plans for Siberia?
We will see in the future. We definitely want to grow, but not like very big. Anyway, the business, in most cases, if business don't grow, it is not viable. Mm. So it's declining. So I will face some hard decisions in the future about this. And right now we are very small. We are even smaller than Mikkeller used to be in 12 years ago. So we have some future in the smallest breweries, craft breweries. As I tell you, we brew like 38 hectares or 3700 hectares in the year. And until 10,000 hectoliters, we still are very small. Mm. We even like considering, but Czech law is very small. You have special tax politics here. I mean, excise tax, not another tax. And I want definitely to grow at least to this size.
Yeah.
And I think about this very, like, quite a bit. Mm. But it's not the nearest future. Yeah, so. But I deeply believe that if you need to grow or just declining, because this is, well, it's how business works. So we can't just stop at the moment and be like forever this kind of brewery or this size of the brewery. If we stop right now, we will die in 5 years and close in 5 years. This is reality. It's how it works. So it be even we growing or we dying.
Yeah.
This is only like two ways.
I also think it, I asked you that question when we were here last time about you have a maximum capacity at this ground. That's also the issue, is like you can upgrade here, but if you want to upgrade more in like a year or two after that, then you maybe need to move.
We will have a move. Yeah, we will have to move.
Yeah.
Because the residential building, they going to us from all the places. So and it, in 10 years in this place will be residential building. So we definitely will have to move.
And that's also one of the, like, it you know it's going to happen and it's, that's going to be fun, but that's also going to be the big issue to figure out what are we doing next.
It's the next issue we're facing with.
Yeah. So let's just do this one more time. I'm just thirsty. Sorry.
Cheers.
Na zdravi.
Skål.
Yeah, skål. Og skål til lytterne.
Rusland. I actually think we have gone through all the questions we had for you. I don't know if there's anything you would like to say here in the last part of Ølbarometeret before we are closing in.
I don't prepare any questions for you guys. Okay. Yeah, but already I think we had a good chat like 3 days ago.
Yeah.
Thank you to come to the Czech Republic. And I really enjoy every time I met real beer geeks. I still enjoy it. Like I doing this like 11 years at least, but it's one of my favorite thing. It's just meet the people which are deeply interested in the beer.
I know we just want to thank you for your hospitality. It has been such an amazing experience coming here and visiting your brewery, the Beer Geek Bar.
The yeah. Siberia Bar.
Siberia Bar.
Other bars you made us go to, and yeah, it's yeah, we didn't say no, but let's just say thank you so much for having us here. It's been lovely, and yeah, we are kind of amazed. It's been lovely.
And next time, see you in Denmark, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for this lovely podcast.
Thank you, and cheers.
Skål.
Skål.